time for the Debate Hockey Podcast. I'm host of the show, Brad Rude, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Fryer. An hour of NHL hockey talk, and it's been a busy, busy week. Yesterday, hockey day in Canada, one of my favorite days of the year. Some good matchups, some, I don't even know, weird games. Winnipeg gets by Ottawa 2-1 in overtime. Vancouver beats Toronto 6-4, and Montreal gets beat by Boston 9-4. And then Edmonton gets by Calgary 3-1, 13 straight for the Oilers. They are definitely rolling.
Yeah, no, that's one of my favorite days of the year too. Hockey all day, all seven Canadian teams in action. And then you mix it in with playoff football. I mean, that sets for a pretty busy weekend. It was good matchups in the NFL. Another exciting one with the Chiefs and Bills today. Wish the Bills would have came out on top, but that's tough. Oh, well, is what it is. But, yeah, it was a good weekend of sports for sure.
Yeah, definitely a good one. You know, you're a play-by-play guy, and we've talked about Jack Edwards in Boston many, many times. What's going on?
Jack Michaels is right there with him, I think.
I know, but is Jack Edwards having like medical issues or something? Have you heard him on the calls lately?
I took a video. I took a video. It took him like, I shit you not, like 45 seconds to get his point across. And I'm like he was like talking in slow motion. I'm like, listen, I'm like, is this guy okay? Like, I don't know.
Something's weird.
I have respect for his passion for the Bruins, but
so do I. But your job is to not be a radical homer.
He goes way too far.
Way too far.
Way too far.
Ridiculous.
But Michaels is—he's creeping up there with the Oilers.
He is.
It's getting a little annoying to listen. I used to like him. I used to like him a lot when he came up and he first started with the Oilers. And I was like, as the years have gone on, I'm like, oh, like I don't know, man. He's starting to sound like. No, I wouldn't say it's unprofessional. He's just
you can be a homer,
but he's a little too biased for me. I get he's the Oilers guy. That's fine. Like, it's not like he's doing.
Yes, but your job is to still tell the story truthfully,
right? And that's where I think Louis DeBrus works really well for him because he plays devil's advocate a lot. Yeah. But so I he kind of evens it out a little bit. But yeah.
What did you think of the Terry Ryan PR stunt? Is that what it is? It's totally a PR.
I don't know. Like his reasoning of doing it was it made sense. He wanted his daughter to see him play a professional game, which is cool.
Why is that? Why are the Newfoundland Growlers? Like, how crappy is your organization when you're calling a 47-year-old to get people to come watch your games?
I know. It looks like a PR stunt for sure. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. And then he fights. He fights. He got a couple good punches in there. He got a lick in a little bit. But
he's not a bad hockey player. I mean, I'm not faulting him.
Like, listen.
If I'd do it, I'd do it too. I mean.
Did you know that he was a fourth overall pick?
Yeah.
I didn't know. We're sixth overall. Yes.
I looked it up yesterday. Let's make sure we're right on that.
Dude, he was not
because Damon Lankow was taken.
Sorry. He's an eighth overall pick.
I was gonna say
eighth overall. That I didn't realize that. Like he tore up the Western League with Tri-City.
He had Damon Lankow.
He just never ever panned out.
No, because he's kind of like Connor
Brown. He played eight games.
Kind of like Connor Brown, right?
Connor Brown.
Or whatnot. Who's the guy playing on McDavid's line? Connor.
Yeah, that's Connor Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, Connor Brown. Okay, tore it up in juniors, right? Now he's in the NHL and he can't buy a goal.
Hold on.
What? Hold on what? What am I holding on for, Blake? What are we holding on for, Blake?
I'm looking this up. You're looking this up. Hang on. Okay, Connor Brown had three 20-goal seasons in the NHL. It's not like this guy just forgot how to score.
Well, he can't score right now.
But he hasn't scored in his last 39 games.
That's what I'm saying.
But
a far cry from what he did in juniors, right?
He was very good.
I can list off 100 guys that were tore up the WHL and didn't do dinky shit.
He played in the OHL, but okay. Yeah. I'm saying he was a pretty successful player for the Leafs in his first couple years in Toronto. Ottawa.
So Monday night, Vancouver's plane gets stuck in the mud at the airport. How does that happen? How does an airplane go in the mud?
No, it's just, I don't know. It was in Buffalo, so like it was like just shitty weather, and
I know
they got stranded in Buffalo. Then they had to bus in a snowstorm to Toronto, fly out of Toronto to Columbus, and then play a 12 o'clock game. What a gong show!
It happens to every team.
That's
something.
That's a little excessive. But
what were they supposed to cancel the game for them?
No. Hey, they got a point. Went 5-1-1 on the road trip. That's okay with me.
I know, but Vancouver fans still find a way to whine.
I'm not whining. I just provided facts.
Yeah, facts that you didn't think it was fair.
I didn't say it was fair at all.
You hire a pilot that keeps it on the concrete.
They couldn't fly out. What are you talking about?
The plane got stuck in the mud.
I think that's made up. Honestly, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know.
You would be somebody to fall for a troll account, though.
Global News Canada is who reported.
Yeah, probably fake news.
Every news in Canada is fake news because the government.
Happen to hear Strickland's comments, UFC fighter?
No, I don't want you as
okay. Okay. You'll get a kick of this though. After the pod, I will send you the clip and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Say it right now.
Huh?
Say it.
No, now. I can't. There's too many like F bombs and going off on Trudeau and Biden. You'll like it. You'll get a kick of it. It's funny. Well,
you can tear our country down and carry your country down. And
yeah.
All right. All right, lots to talk about on the show today. We got Patrick Waugh, head coach of the Islanders now. We're going to do a little trade deadline talk. Not really deadline talk, but who says no scenarios. We'll go around the league. Martin on waivers again claimed. Pinto re-signs. Rutherford extended. Eichel's out. TV dilemma. And, there is some goofy stuff going on in the BCHL right now. All right, Saturday morning, it is announced that Patrick Waugh is the new head coach of the Islanders and Lane Lambert is fired and gone.
Yeah.
Go, Blake.
I don't have much to say on this. All I'll say is I think he was the right coach, wrong time for Colorado. I don't think they had a team. I don't think they had a team in place or players in place for him to coach the way he wants to coach. They were a rebuilding team. It was a lose-lose situation for any coach that went into that organization at that time. It was a disaster.
Coach at the wrong time too.
Who?
Was Lane Lambert the right coach at the wrong time too?
I even said that he shouldn't have even been hired in the first place.
Who should have been?
You could have hired anybody with experience. They need an experienced hockey guy.
Patrick Waugh.
This guy got a lot of experience. He played in the league 20 years. He's coached in the NHL. He's been a very successful coach in the Q. He's won a Memorial Cup. Come on.
Bliss Littler, Kevin Constantine. Let's name off a whole bunch of guys that won in the WHL.
Okay, I'm just saying. He deserved a second opportunity, and they weren't the only team offering him. St. Louis was in after him. There's a lot of teams.
They did not offer him.
They interviewed and they talked to him. Okay, but I'm just saying. The Islanders weren't the only guy after Patrick Waugh.
Okay. It took him a long time to get rehired.
It did, for sure. But you can't tell me he doesn't deserve a job. Well,
you know, I'm not saying he's a bad coach because I don't know yet. I haven't seen him coach long enough to get even
right. He coached a bad Colorado team. That's pretty unfair to judge a guy for 2 years there.
But you're sitting here telling me what a great junior coach is, and I'm sorry, only thing I really remember of his junior coaching career is controversy.
Why? Because of his kids fighting and stuff?
And some of the things he did. That's what stands out. When you say Patrick Waugh coaching, I think, oh, okay.
He's a fiery. I think that market's going to love Patrick Waugh. That market and Patrick Waugh, they're both stubborn. They're both passionate. They both love the game. I think it's going to be a good fit. I think it's going to be a good fit there.
Like, you think every trade in?
No, that's not true. That's not true.
When's the last time Vancouver signed somebody or anybody else, you're like, you know, that's not good.
Patrick Waugh is 1-0, come from behind victory over the Dallas Stars.
Okay, the same Dallas Stars that went down 20-0 in shots to Philly yesterday. 20-0.
I know. What's going? What is going on in Dallas? Oh,
I don't know that that's like the in the world here, but I honestly wish him well because I like the Islanders. I've always kind of been a secret Islanders fan. I just question, well, you got Lou Lamoriello, who's like the most rigid stickler for little things in the world, and then you put in a guy that's a fiery self-centered guy like Patrick Waugh. I don't know. I don't know how that mixes.
Here's the thing about the Islanders, okay? You got a lot of good pieces on that team. You got Barzal, you got Anders Lee, you got Pajot, you got Horvat, you got Noah Dobson, who's really molding himself to be into the top 10 for defensemen. You got Sorokin, who's a top 5 goalie in the NHL. You got Varlamov, who's a good backup to push Sorokin. You got a lot of good pieces in there. And now it's about finding the right coach that can get the most out of that team and take them to that next level. Because not too long ago, we were talking about the Islanders being in back-to-back conference finals. Those teams that went to the conference finals that were one win away from the cup, they're still on that team. Like, this is still a good core, and the window is still there for them to win. It's about finding the right guy to point him in the right direction. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think there's definitely the pieces in New York to on the island to put together a solid hockey team. I think they've been an adequate hockey team for the last few years. I just
looked at it like Doug Weight let him kind of play offensively, right? Like, he kind of let him go play offense, and then the last couple coaches, they've been defense first, this, and like I kind of held back Barzal's game, and I think Patrick Waugh is kind of like a hybrid. He's kind of like more of a hybrid style.
We will see.
Because I know, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying though, you without good defense, you don't win.
Well, I listened to that, and that's what he said in his press conference. He said defense wins championships. That was the first thing I said. So
it does. Yep. So I mean, I don't look at him as being like a big flying offensive coach, but I guess we'll see. We'll see. Because he has no experience, because in Colorado, we couldn't really tell because he didn't have any talent, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we really don't know where he's going to go with this. We are a little over a month away from NHL trade deadline. And in the last couple of weeks, we've had more and more talk kind of sparking up about, hey, this guy gets moved here, this guy gets moved here. And you know, you read all these trade rumors and you shake your head and you laugh at most of them. And I do, but you know what? I shake my head and I laugh at these trade rumors, but I read them and I love it. Right.
Oh, dude. Hey, listen, the amount of time that I spend on Cap Friendly and go through the armchair GM trades is actually, I'm too embarrassed to admit how long I'm on that site.
But it's ridiculous, but it's fun though, isn't it?
Like, it's so, like, there's some absolutely ridiculous trades, and then you read, and then you look at some, you're like, that's actually a really smart idea. So
we, Blake and I both came up with three different trades. We're going to kind of cruise through them quickly because we got a lot of things to talk about and we want to kind of keep the show at 45 minutes, but we got three trades. I got three. I think Blake has three. we'll read them off and then we'll say who says no. And
yeah, you say you go through your three and then we'll just make this as quick as possible.
You want to do one and I'll do one and you do one, I'll do one?
Sure.
Okay, who's going first?
You can go first.
Okay. Winnipeg trades Ville Heinola and a 2024 second round pick that they received from Montreal to Montreal for Sean Monahan with 50% retained.
I think both teams would do that. I kind of have a similar trade. I didn't go down the middle for them. I went on the wing.
But they need it down the middle.
They need down the middle. That's debatable.
Who else needs
it down the middle? Is it debate? I don't think they needed a center. It depends how long Scheifele's out. Now, Scheifele's out long-term.
No, he's probably not going to be. I mean, I'm talking with Scheifele in.
No, with Scheifele in, you got Scheifele. You got Gabe Vilardi. You got Lowry down the middle. You don't need another center.
Lowry hasn't been playing center, though.
Lowry is he's their third line center.
Okay.
I think they need more of a winger. I have them trading Logan Stanley, a 2024 second and a 2025 second to New Jersey for Tyler Toffoli.
Why would they do? Okay. Who says no to that? Winnipeg says no. Winnipeg is not taking Toffoli's contract. My God.
Why? It's only for two more years.
Yeah, and it's overpriced. And
not really. He's making 4.1. The guy's a 30 goal scorer.
Okay, so why? And he's slow. So why would New Jersey do that? Because aren't they trying to win a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, but you can still be competitive, but add a 6'7" defenseman and add a couple picks, and still be. I don't think losing to Foley would hurt them that much. You can sell a little bit and still be competitive. I think that's an opportunity to get a nice prospect and a couple picks.
I promise that trade doesn't happen.
We could name six trades. They all might not happen. I'm just saying, I think that could happen.
I would bet that none of ours happen. Probably.
I'm just saying. I think Winnipeg with the Foley is a good fit.
Next one. I've got Anaheim trading Trevor Zegras in a third round pick in 2024 to Detroit for Joseph Valeno, a first in 2024 and a prospect. I wrote down Vero, a defenseman who was a third rounder. I got a mid-level prospect.
Anaheim's got a lot of center depth. I don't know. I think Anaheim might say no. I don't know. It'd be tough to.
You're getting more. I don't think you're getting more than that for Zegras. Do you?
It'd be tough to give up on Zegras at 21 years old, though.
I know, but I feel like it's going to happen. Don't you?
Yeah, I don't know
why you would do that, but I feel like there's smoke, there's fire, and all I've heard lately is Zegras is gone. And there's something going on. And
when they didn't go long term with him, that was a little alarming.
Yes. So I don't know. I mean, would I do it if I was Anaheim? No, I wouldn't want to get rid of Zegras. But if he wants out, he wants out. And you know, there's a ton of players that go in and say, I want out, that don't make it public. Right.
Right. Well, and that happened with Connor Garland this year. Like he said that, he requested a trade and he flat out said, I didn't request a trade. So, I mean, that could happen too. Right. So. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
This one's a big one, buddy.
All right.
Elias Lindholm and Chris Tanev half retained to the Vancouver Canucks for Andrei Kuzmenko.
Nope.
Listen, I'm not done. Listen, Jonathan Lekkermäki, who absolutely tore up the World Juniors, Vasily Podkolzin, a 2024 first and a 2025 second. That's a good package, though.
Not for both of them, though. First of all, I would trade one of them to Vancouver, maybe. I'm not trading both to Vancouver.
That's a big package, though, for Calgary. That's a good package.
I don't want Kuzmenko, and I'm not taking his salary either.
You can flip Kuzmenko.
Not I can't flip him at his salary he has now.
Well, he's in there for the money. He's in there to make the money work.
I could flip him.
Would you rather have Tyler Myers then for the money?
No. You will. You do. Wait a minute. You do not want to get rid of Tyler Myers for a Stanley Cup run. You don't. He's not a great defenseman, but he's going to be great.
What if they get Chris Tanev to replace his spot?
Because I think you'd probably.
You would have seven NHL defensemen. You're going to dress 7D every night?
You need 8 or 9 for the playoffs.
Sure, but.
You do.
Do you think Tyler Myers is going to be okay with being a healthy scratch?
Does it matter? Are you re-signing him?
Probably not.
So who cares?
I don't know.
Are you making friends or winning Stanley Cup?
How important is Tyler Myers to the Canucks now, eh?
No, he is depth, right? The problem with Tyler Myers is that Vancouver thought he was a 2 defenseman when he was a 6 defenseman.
Right.
He's a great 5-6 defenseman. He's great.
Not for 6 mil, though.
That was just a bad signing, and they hit him. It was no different than for years. I mean, every team has it. You plug guys in wrong positions, and you wonder why it doesn't work.
His role as a third-pairing guy, he was playing in the top pair of minutes in Toronto and Vancouver.
Yes.
So now he's solidified in the third pair as Dorov. He's been really good.
Perfect. He's perfect in that situation, right? It's situations.
Yeah.
You want my Vancouver trade?
Sure.
How many have you given? 2, and I've given 2?
Yeah, this is your second. This is your second. Oh, that's your third.
Okay. Vancouver trades Kuzmenko, 50% retained, and a 4th-round pick in 2024 and a 5th-round pick in 2025 to Buffalo for Casey Mittelstead.
Really? You think he'll cost that less? You don't think he'll cost that less to get him?
Well, they would. Yeah, I think you'd get him at that. If you retained half of Kuzmenko, but I don't know if they can do that.
I think it would cost at least a first in there to get him.
I don't think so.
He's producing this year.
Blake, do not. He's got 39 points in 45 games. Do not forget. Not one first.
He's got to get paid this summer too. That you got to be careful.
That's what I'm saying. He's a UFA. So.
I don't think he's a UFA.
I think he is.
No,
he's an RFA. He's got to be an RFA.
Yeah, he's an RFA. Yeah, he's an RFA. He's 24.
You got to pay him next year. But I'm just saying, like, you're not gonna first. You keep saying first. Not one first got traded last year.
Yeah, that is fair. But there wasn't that many. There wasn't that much on the market though. There wasn't a Elias Lindholm, Chris Tanev out there to trade. You know what I mean? Like. Who was the big fish? It was Patrick Kane. It was Tarasenko.
Yeah. And they all
they didn't get first. So like those guys are old. Kane was hurt. Yeah. I don't know. Like there wasn't like Lindholm's going to get a first. Like you're going to get a first for Lindholm.
I don't know.
Like that trade's interesting to me because the Canucks could use a center, but I don't know. I don't know how much, like, what would his next contract look like? You got to remember, you got to pay Patterson and Hronek.
You may not get to use him for the next contract. You may let him walk. You might have to. You might not have the money to.
Or you could flip him after our playoff run. You could do that.
Right. But the word around Vancouver is we're going for it this year, right?
Yeah.
There's a guy that will help you get there, right?
Yeah.
If you're getting rid of Kuzmenko anyways.
Yeah, they got to find a way to reallocate his money somewhere to trade. Like I think that's priority number one. On Vancouver. We'll talk a little bit more of Vancouver when we talk Rutherford though. My last trade, it's a outside the box trade.
I think all of ours were outside the box, weren't they?
Florida trades Spencer Knight to Carolina for Jack Drury and a first round pick.
I don't think Spencer Knight gets you a first rounder, does he? I don't think he costs you a first rounder,
but like I think it's he's under contract for 3 more years at 4.5.
I don't know. I mean, you got to be a little weary. I mean, he was in the player assistance program,
but he's playing really good in the minors right now. He's getting his game back. You picked him to win 30 games last year. Careful what you're saying here.
Bro. I love him as a goaltender, and I'm not saying Carolina wouldn't want him. I don't know if they'd have to give up first to get him.
Yeah, maybe Jack Drury in a second, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, I think that would be a good trade for both teams.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's great. I think it'd be a smart deal for Carolina. But I don't know if you'd have to give a first to do it. I don't know if you'd have to.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. But I really don't know what's going to happen with this.
It's going to be like, there's obviously dominoes to fall. Like, is Jake Guentzel actually available? Like, he was linked to the Canucks by Elliot Freeman yesterday. It's like, is Pittsburgh going to make him available? Like I said, Calgary controls the deadline right now. Calgary holds the cards. They have the dominoes. Once those dominoes start falling, teams are going to start going, okay, like, I guess we can go here. We can go here now. This is where we're going to redirect. Because if Calgary goes, hey, we're going to trade Lindholm, we're going to trade Tanev, and we're going to trade Hanifin, you know, that opens a lot of doors.
Here's one of the things, though. Like, I love Elias Lindholm. I've always been a fan of his. But, like, if the numbers that are floating around are true,
right,
and he believes that, like, I'd be leery giving up a whole King's ransom to get him, because I don't know if I sure as hell wouldn't sign him at what he's asking.
Well, if Vancouver got a guy like that, that's just a pure rental because they can't afford him.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where it's like, okay, how much is too much to give up for a rental, right? Because now if you get a guy like Tanev, you know, who they realistically could re-sign a guy like that if they want, right? Lindholm.
I think everybody in the league wants to re-sign Tanev. I just think everybody in the league is scared to death to re-sign
Tanev. Right. I'm just saying, a guy like Lindholm, is he really worth the nine and a half that he wants? Probably not. That's the risk you take and try and go for it for a cup run. That's the risk you take.
I'd be scared to give him $7 million.
Yeah, I'd probably go max $7.5 million with him.
Yeah, well, someone's going to be dumb and give him more than that.
Yeah,
and I love the guy. I'm not ripping on him. I mean, I love the way he plays. You know, he's
a 200-foot defensive center with scoring touch. I mean,
does he have scoring touch?
Those guys are hard to find. Yeah, dude, he had 30 goals last year.
No,
no,
not last year. He didn't. I don't think he did when he played with Gaudreau and Tkachuk. Was his only point year. If I'm gonna give somebody $9 million, I better be freaking guaranteed points, right?
Okay, so last year he had 64 points, 22 goals. The year before that, he had 42 goals.
Playing with Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau.
Okay, so if you put him with Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser,
yeah,
you don't think he would produce?
Sure, I know he would. I know he would.
I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. Like, if he goes to Colorado and gets a chance to play with Nathan MacKinnon,
he'll put up points, but they won't be able to afford to re-sign him.
But if you win a Stanley Cup, who gives a shit?
I'm with you. But what do you give? Is he going to get a first?
Most likely, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I just,
like, as a Flames fan, how many of the guys I just named would you say get traded? Two? Tanev and Lindholm?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's smart to sign Hanifin. I think it's smart too,
but I just don't know if it'll happen, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Hanifin wants to be there, right? He's an American. He made it very clear last year that he was going to re-sign with an American team.
But then he started renegotiating with the Flames though this year.
I agree. But you
I think there's part of him that wants to stay if you're going to reopen negotiation mid-season.
Sure. I don't think he's ever hated his time in Calgary.
Right.
I don't think he ever has. I think he just says, like, I'm an American. I wanted to go back to the States. I think this whole COVID thing was just.
And is there a team in the NHL that is a contender that he wants, like, say he wants to go to a contender, that he can truly be a number one left pair defenseman like he could in Calgary?
Noah Hanifin gives a rat's ass if he's a one or a three.
But I
don't think he cares.
Yeah.
I really don't. Can I ask you a question? Why did defensemen do any of them really care as long as they're in the top two pairings? Because if you're in the top two pairings, you're getting the ice.
Yeah, in 20
does
plus.
Does it really matter? Like, if you're the only guy I know that cares about that is Nikita Zadorov.
Why?
Because he used to always say, I number one pairing defenseman in Chicago. Well, no shit, Nikita. Chicago was horseshit.
Hey, listen, he's a third pair D in Vancouver, and he's loving it. He's awesome.
Well, we'll see. Great. We'll see if he's loving it. We'll see if he re-signs there.
We'll see. I give him 5 years, 4.5.
He ain't taking 4.5.
He will take no 4.5. Way. Yes, he will. I'm calling it right now. Zadorov signed his age. He's going to be 4 to 4.5. You want to bet? You want to have a little side bet here?
A little side bet because he's already
4 to 4.5. He ain't getting no 6.
All right, watch.
Okay, let's bet then. You think he's going to get 6? I'll say he gets 4 to 4.5.
What did Gabranson get?
He got 4 times 4.
Yeah, he deserved 2. Right? Oh, God. Get on over. Check our sponsors out. Apparel Bandits. Outfit your team with all kinds of great CCM and Unreal apparel. Hats, bags, sweatshirts. I mean, everything you can do to outfit your team. Make them look top-notch for your youth hockey season. Go around the league here. So Spencer Martin claimed off waivers from Vancouver earlier in the year, and he goes to Columbus.
No. He signed in with Columbus as a free agent in the summer.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. 1 year deal.
Okay, but now he's put on waivers by Columbus, which surprised me because why would?
Do you think they were threatened by Merzlikin's comments?
It looks like it. That's why I'm bringing this up on the show today. Because last week we talked about Merzlikins and his comments, and we said Spencer Martin's outplaying him. And then all of a sudden, Spencer Martin's on waivers and he's claimed by Carolina. I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting. And Merzlikins has put together 3 straight good starts too. So I don't know. Maybe a little fire under him. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, it's a fringe NHL guy with experience for Carolina who's dealt with a lot of goaltending issues. So injuries and whatnot. He'll get a chance to play some games over there. So good for him.
Shane Pinto re-signs a league minimum for 1 year, which we both expected.
Yeah.
Do you think a long-term deal in Ottawa is in the books for Shane Pinto?
Well, I mean, they were in quite an impasse at the start of the summer, right? So, they had to have known that this was coming from the league, right? So, like, that's why
evidently they knew later, but not as upfront and not as quickly as what we probably would have anticipated,
right? Right. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting because they signed all those guys long term, right? And like, what are they gonna do? What are they gonna do with Chychrun here? They got
Now he says he wants out. Is that guy ever happy?
I don't know. I mean, when he got traded there, I'm so happy to play in Ottawa. I can't wait to play. It's like,
it'd be the greatest thing in the world. God. Is he one of those players that like he's just never going
to
be.
He's there for 5 seconds and then he wants to leave. He's like that little kid who was like, I want to try this ride. And 5 seconds in the ride, like, get me off here. I want to try another one. It's like, I don't know, man.
I don't know. I think he's one of those guys that you're just never going to please him, right? He wants it handed to him and he wants to win. And everybody wants to win, but only one team wins every year, right?
Well, I mean, it would be pretty tough playing in Ottawa right now. That can't be tough.
I don't understand why it would be tough because they have a great young nucleus.
But they just.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Calgary was an example last year. I think Vancouver was the example maybe 2 years ago. Maybe I'm off. You'll correct me here. Teams just have years where it's like, man, I just really don't know why we're this bad, but we are.
But this year, it's the same situations. Like, it's the same. Like, they show you for 2-3 games that they like, well, you're like, oh, this team is actually pretty good, and then they go out and lose 6-0.
So would you break them up, or would you get them?
I think you got to do some tinkering for sure. I think you got to get a couple defensemen in there.
Well, I think what you need to do.
Rebuild. You got a lot of good pieces in Ottawa. Oh, I'm not saying you don't. Like, they're loaded with talent. You need a couple of defensemen and
sprinkle some guys in there, right? Some veterans in there. You need to sprinkle some good veterans in there.
First of all, I wouldn't have let Cam Talbot go.
Here's what you need to do. Yeah, that's it. You need to start with goalies. They went through more goalies than any in the last 5 years. They've had more goalies play there than any other team in the league. That's a problem. Yeah. You need to solidify the back end, and then you can start building. But
you got it. Like, honestly, man, you say what you want about getting your young studs up front in place and signing your back end. You got to build your team from the net out, man. You got to build your team from the net out. You start with a goalie, then you go to your defense, and then you round out your forward group. And I feel like they just rushed a little bit and did it a little backwards.
Yeah. Rutherford extended in Vancouver. How long was he extended for?
3 years.
He's not 74 years old.
He just turned 74. Yeah. So
they get a discount at the funeral home too, then. And like, this year is going really, really good in Vancouver.
What this guy has done, not only for the on ice portion, but the off ice stuff, the bringing in the front office people and building a proper culture in that organization. But you used to look at that team and say, like, this is a country club locker room. There's no accountability, right? Now there's alignment from the owner to the president to the GM to the coach to the players to the season ticket holders. Everybody is on the same page here. And 2 years ago, that was the complete opposite. There was so much dysfunction. And you bring in a well-respected guy like Jim Rutherford, and you bring in like a Cammy Granato, and you bring in all these respected hockey people. It just builds a winning culture, and that's transformed into the locker room, and then that is transformed onto the ice. It starts up top. The culture starts up top, and that breathes down into the on ice stuff. It really does.
No, and I agree with you. And I am not saying that he's not deserving of it at all. I'm not questioning that at all. I just look at his age and I'm like, holy cats.
The guy loves the challenge. I mean, he took over the team 18 months ago, and you looked at that team on paper and you said, this is an awful team. And what they've done in the last 18 months, what they've done with the defense.
You've got to admit, though, a lot of chips fell into place.
A lot of chips did fall into place. A
year ago, right now, he was saying they needed major surgery.
No, they did. They did major surgery this summer. They bought out OEL. That's big surgery.
Yeah.
That's big surgery, right? And that $8 million that you freed up, it's going to hurt you a little bit in years 3 and 4, when it's a $4 million cap hit for that buyout, but that allowed you to go out and sign Susie, Cole, Pia Suter, Teddy Bluger with that OEL money. They signed 4 of those players for OEL's cap hit. Like, those are 4 players that are huge parts of this team. So that's a move that they probably didn't want to do, but in order for them to get the players in place that they want to play the system, something like that had to be done.
Who signed OEL?
That was Arizona signed him.
Who traded for him?
Jim Benning.
Okay.
That was Jim Benning's. All they had to do was wait one more year, and Anton Roussel, Louis Erickson, and Jay Beagle were all off the books. They would have had $6 million plus they would have had $12 million off the books, and instead got 6 more years of OEL and traded for Connor Garland's rights and signed into a 5-year deal. So they basically just took $12 million and pasted it to $12 million with Garland and Ekman Larson. And
you right like now, that deal when it happened.
Yeah, no, I liked Garland. I liked getting Garland at the time, and he's turned into a good player. No, I did not. I didn't like that deal.
Yes, you did.
But a buyout like that had to happen. Is there going to be consequences that they have to face down the road? For sure. But in order for them to get going in the right direction and get players in here that that play the right way had to be done. And he's done a great job of building the culture. All the props to him. He deserves it.
Jack Eichel out week to week with lower body, not injury, surgery. I'm like, what?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. So that's, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That's a tough loss. Wouldn't surprise me if he missed the whole season, went on LTIR. They went and got a big piece and, I mean, magically appears in the NHL playoffs.
I guess we'll see. Oh, I just want to touch briefly on some dilemmas in the NHL and actually other professional sports too. As we've talked about Bally's filing bankruptcy and stuff, I've heard now some reports that Amazon is buying out Bally's.
Yeah.
So now Amazon Prime's going to have those teams' games on there.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I know Scripps is doing the Vegas.
Scripps.
Then ESPN Plus has it, but a lot of people are. I'm frustrated with the way ESPN's doing their hockey. Their app sucks. Their app sucks.
I think this is a good opportunity for Amazon and for the sports landscape in general, because we talked about on this podcast, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, how when we were talking about like how maybe a corporation like Netflix would maybe buy into a league like that or something like that. And now we see Amazon do it. So it's kind of interesting.
Here's the recourse here, though. You have to buy an extra subscription.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I'll have to look at the logistics of like when it actually comes finalized and you look at it and see.
I don't think it's bad. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Anything's better than Bally's. But what I'm saying to you is, could you imagine tonight if you had to turn the TV on and you start flipping through to find the football game, but you can't find it, but it's on a paid network thing, then what?
Well, that is in the States. Every Thursday, the game is on Amazon Prime. And you can only watch the game if it's on Amazon Prime. Last Monday. Yep, the game was on Peacock.
Yep,
right?
And the ratings suck.
No, they did not.
Amazon Prime.
No, they. I'm talking about the playoff game on Peacock. It was the largest streamed event. It was the largest stream event in the history of streams.
I understand that, Blake. But what I'm saying is you're not going to gain new fans doing
that. Right. You're not going to. The casual fans aren't buying that. I will say that.
And one of the things that ESPN's doing that's really pissing me off is, you know, you used to be able to go to NHL TV and it would show all the games and the scores. And you used to click on them and you could click back and forth. And it was super easy.
Yeah.
ESPN Plus, you got to freaking wade through all the freaking 375 college basketball games that are on, you know, Akron State against, you know, Billy Babs University. And you can't find the goddamn hockey games. And now the NHL TV used to be able to go back, you know, however many days and watch a game.
Yeah.
Like
condensed now, game. Yeah.
30 days. The games are gone. You can't even watch them anymore.
Honestly. Yeah. So for me, being a Canucks fan in Saskatchewan, I split Sportsnet Plus with my friend. It's $20 bucks a month, and I get all the games out of market games. It is what it is. I mean, that's just like the Canucks games are blacked out on my TV. They're blacked out. If I don't pay, I can't watch my team. So that's the reality that I accepted. And I have no problem paying the $20.
But other we have to, pro sports, we have to get rid of this blackout crap.
Oh, 100%. Like,
and it's baseball. It's
so bad. It's so bad.
Like, I mean, I live nine hours from Minneapolis and the games are blacked out.
If you're a baseball fan in Minnesota, the Twins games are blacked out. The Cubs game's blacked out. The Milwaukee Brewers game is blacked out. It's so bad.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's ruined. It honestly ruins experiences.
We got to hit the fast forward button here. Quick, let's talk about the BCHL. They steal 5 teams from the Alberta Junior Hockey League. I know you know a whole lot more about this situation than I do. Now those AJHL teams that said they're leaving to go to the BCHL next year are suspended. They're not playing games. Kids are not going to get opportunities. What the hell's going on here with Hockey Canada?
Well, it's not much Hockey Canada. It's not Hockey Canada at all. BCHL is not in Hockey Canada anymore. They left Hockey Canada last year. They're a completely solely independent. They're an independent league. So the BCHL last year left BC Hockey.
Let that happen.
They left BC Hockey last year, which shocked people. And then they left the Canadian Junior Hockey League and Hockey Canada. And that put some waves around the league, but I don't have a problem with five Alberta teams going over to the BCHL if they feel like that is going to be better for their program and they're going to play against a caliber of teams that are in their own weight class. Because when you look at it, the Brooks Bandits kill everybody. They win the league all the time. Hold on, let me finish. They win the league all the time. And they go to the Centennial Cup. It used to be called the RBC Cup. And they breeze right through that because the BCHL doesn't go there anymore. So there's really no real competition there. There's no competition for Brooks. And everyone's been saying, we want to see Brooks play Penticton. We want to see Brooks play Penticton. And now we're going to get an opportunity to see that. Hold on, I'm not done. The only thing that I don't agree with, and I was reading the AJHL statement that they put out, and they said they found out these five teams were leaving the BCHL from the BCHL press release, that they didn't notify the Alberta Junior Hockey League that this was happening, which I'm like, you would have had some inkling of that could happen. I don't agree with suspending players. I don't think players should have to be punished for adult decisions. I don't like that at all. I don't think that's right for players because not only is it fair to the teams that are leaving the AJHL, what about the teams that aren't leaving that have their games canceled now? So like, I don't know the whole story on it. Could this be good for junior hockey? Sure, it could. They want to form a little super league and rival the USHL or rival the North American Hockey League. All the props to them.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just wondering, like, why would you not just keep this under wraps and announce it at the end of the year so it doesn't affect you? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think it got leaked. It got leaked on social media, and I think the BCHL felt pressure to release this.
Okay.
Like it got leaked about 2.5 days before an actual announcement. So I think they got a little heat.
I didn't know that the BCHL separated last year. That the BCHL's been superior to the AJ and the SJ.
They left Hockey Canada. They're not a part of Hockey Canada anymore. So
why would Hockey Canada let that happen?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what's going on in Hockey Canada? Because, like, a league in the U.S., you couldn't just say, well, we're leaving USA Hockey. Like, USA Hockey, wait a second here.
Right.
Like, let's get, I mean, I don't know.
Crazy. Yeah, but, like, it'll be interesting to see how this affects the junior landscape, because it's a pretty serious move.
It is. It's really.
Like,
really
that's serious. That's almost half of the AJ going over to BC. That's a... Like, are they going to have to replace teams? Are they going to have expansion teams now? Like, what do you think is going to happen with the AJ because of this now? Like, they're losing five teams. Merge? Do they merge with the SJ? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Probably you merge with the SJ.
Do you merge with the SJ and form like a 20 team league?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would make probably more sense, right?
Like, I'm not sure. That's total speculation. I work in the SJ. Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's happening. I'm just saying, like, could happen. I'm not sure.
No. It just would make sense, right?
Because Alberta's in a tough spot now. They're in a tough spot.
They don't have any teams.
So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Three questions. It's time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Week I fired three questions at Blake. It's his turn this week to fire three questions at me.
Who would you rather have right now, Nathan McKinnon or Connor McDavid?
Nathan McKinnon.
Really?
Mm-hmm. More complete.
Think so?
Yep.
Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Nathan McKinnon right now or Kucherov?
Nathan MacKinnon.
Is it close though?
Nope. I would take Connor McDavid over Kucherov.
Yeah, I would too. You think McKinnon's the best player in the world right now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting comments from you.
Yeah.
Who is the next coach that gets fired? Why is this funny?
Oh, let's just make Toronto fans upset.
Do you think Matthew saved Keith a couple more weeks?
Probably, right?
If they would have went lost in Edmonton, lost in Calgary, lost in Vancouver, let's see what they did today. Let's see what they did in Seattle. They're in Seattle right now.
They are in Seattle.
They're up 2-1 in the third. We'll see if they blow a third period lead tonight.
I don't know. I'll throw my money on Keith.
Let's see who scored today for the Ultra Maple Leafs. Austin Matthews and Robertson.
So how about Nylander's great defensive play the other night?
In Vancouver?
Yes.
He just stood in front of the net, didn't go in the corner, didn't want to get hit.
Well, guy shot the puck, and he like almost like got out of the way, so it didn't hit him, so and it went into
this
the
guy,
net.
Well, that was Matthews that leaned out of the way against Edmonton and let him shoot top against corner. Edmonton,
but Vancouver.
Vancouver, he went into the corner with Zadorov, and he made an executive decision and got the hell out of there. He said, I ain't getting hit by Zadorov. Listen, this guy, after he signed his contract,
you told me it was a good contract.
He went 5 games without a point. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, oh my God, dude, you picked the wrong time to go on a 5-game slide. And then he responds with 3 points against Vancouver in the second period. I'm like, oh shit.
He puts up a ton of points and he's super offensively talented. I'll give him that all in the world. But you know what? If you're going to win championships on top of your offensively talented,
you got to go on the corners. You got to take a hit.
You got to make some plays, right? Connor McDavid makes some plays.
Yeah. 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 Okay, what's my other question here? Where's my notes? What team has the most pressure to have a successful deadline? Like not pressure to
Calgary Flames.
Not pressure to make a move, pressure to have a successful deadline.
Calgary Flames.
Think so?
They hold all the cards. You said it earlier in the show.
I know I did.
And they need to get a return for those cards.
Well, Calgary Flames fans were ready to burn down the Saddle Dome when they saw the return for the Tyler Toffoli trade. And now look how that turns out. Now they're like, oh my God, Sarah Govich is going to score 40 goals.
I was not upset with that move.
There was a lot of Flames fans that were there was a lot. This is a trash trade, and Sarah Govich is not a good player. And now this guy's a fan favorite. Right? You gotta be careful.
Like, it's the same thing. When Zadorov got traded, they all said it was garbage, right? But I haven't heard one Flames fan say, geez, it'd be nice to have Zadorov right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that works.
I don't know.
Listener question comes from Dave Marcourt, Albany, New York. Who is the dirtiest team in the NHL currently and all time?
All time?
When you think of dirty teams, like all time, what franchise do you think of?
Flyers.
Yeah, I would say that. I would think Flyers, of Boston. Flyers.
Boston.
That's about it, really, when you think about it.
Some teams had
little glitches, but not long-term dirtiness. Right.
Right.
Who was your current?
You know who was such a dirty player? Chris Simon back in the day.
Oh. Yeah. How about
Marty McSorley?
Yarko Ruutu.
Yarko Ruutu, he's a little pest. Brad Marchand.
You can name
Will. One of the dirtiest players.
Wilson in Washington.
A team right now that's dirty.
Who's a dirty team right now? And I had to think hard about this, but when I thought about it, I was like, oh yeah, they are.
Dirty team. I'm trying to think here.
I got it, man. I got it.
Well, you have an advantage because you get to sit here and think about this. I get put on the spot every week.
What are you looking up, Pims?
No.
What are you looking up? You think it's going to pop up on your screen, Blake?
I'm just looking at teams here. Hang on.
Ask AI. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, ask AI.
All right.
I don't know. Who's yours?
Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
Cousins is pretty dirty this year.
Yeah, Cousins is pretty dirty.
It's not just Cousins. There's a bunch of players on that team that'll do whatever it takes. They're going to be a son of a bitch in the playoffs.
They always are. They're well coached too.
That team, if whoever looks at their matchup for round one and it says against Florida, they're going to be like, oh God, here we go. Right.
A couple years ago, I would have said St. Louis. Like really? St. Louis is, they're kind of chippy. I don't know. I really don't think there's a really dirty team in the NHL right now.
Florida,
I'll give you that. But other than that, like, I don't know.
The league has changed so much. The league
is like, changed. It's like there's not, you don't like, how bad is that Ryan Reeves sign for the Leafs right now? He's a healthy scratch. He's just been planted for 1.3 mil.
Hey, we better take it easy on the Toronto fans.
They deserve so much backlash right now.
They're a little touchy though. They're a little touchy.
Yeah, they're a little sensitive
right now. They're a little touchy. I wonder what the score is. Are they winning still?
I think it's
2-1. All right.
2-1.
Let's end this so we can go watch the collapse in Toronto. All right. Another hockey week in the book. We're back at it again next week. Do it all over again. Enjoy this week's hockey action. You're back, same place, same time next week. Enjoy this week's hockey action. Thanks for checking out the debate.
Monday.
Yeah, four days early this week. That was dropped.
You gotta go soak it up. You're going to soak it up in Vegas.
Yeah, for work. So I
you're gonna be by the pool in the evening,
though. No, there's the pool. You've been to Vegas?
Yeah.
You're all closed at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, that's weird.
All right. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next week. A little bit hockey podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. We'll be right back.
y'all on the phone no more, but I hear she's still getting around. Cut all ties with this girl, but somehow she's still hanging around. Been all over this country, but I still find her messing around. She's just lining it up and knocking them down, feeling out that grounded power.